Well, you did it. You finally did it. And I knew that you could. And I think you discovered that it wasn't as difficult as you thought that it might be. And in fact, it was easy. And actually, you found some joy and pleasure out of doing it. Have you figured out what I'm talking about? Nancy got it. She said, you actually walked across a room and you connected with somebody. It could have been an acquaintance. It could be a friend, a family member. Maybe you walked across to your neighbor. Or maybe you just picked up the phone and called that special person that God had put in your life. And how did all this happen? It's because I had asked, as you know, on the first Sunday, that you would pray and ask God to open up your heart and direct you to one person that you could actually develop a friendship with. And there you were. You went across and you began to have a discussion with somebody. It was a friendly conversation. And then you ventured out and decided that you were going to have a spiritual conversation with that special person and talk about the things that mattered most. And before you know it, you were talking about God with that person. And then that person asked you some questions about your life. And you decided that was a golden opportunity for you to actually give your personal testimony, because you learned how to put your testimony together last week. And you decided you'd try it out. It was a little rough for you, but you were able to give your personal testimony. And you see, the person was definitely interested in what you had to say. And you don't know how it happened, but sometime during that conversation that you had with that special person that God laid on your heart, the word Christian came into the conversation. And then the person said something to you like this. They said, I could see that you're a genuine Christian, but I don't think that I am. How does a person become a Christian anyways? And the person's looking over at you, waiting for an answer. Would you know what to say? Did you hear the question that they asked you? How does a person become a Christian? Would you know what to say? Would you know how to respond? Would you know how to lay out the gospel? That's the big question. The big question I have for all of us here, including myself, is are you ready and willing to clearly communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to the special person God has placed in your life, or the special people that you know, your friends, your neighbors, your acquaintances, your family members? Are you ready and willing? Well, that's what this message is all about, is the clear communication of the gospel. There comes a time when you're in a relationship with a pre-Christian, with someone that doesn't know Jesus. There comes a time when you need to share the faith that we hold on to. And just in case you're thinking this is not for you and that this is my responsibility or someone else's, I'm here to tell you clearly that it is our responsibility together to clearly communicate the gospel. And that's because that's what the Bible teaches. This is just one verse of many that directs us as Christians to share the good news of Jesus with others. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You have the spirit of respect for the other person, and with kindness and love in your heart, you answer them and you give them the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, where you lay out the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every Christian is called to communicate the gospel. And today, I'm going to share with you 6 methods of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to take a look at each one of these, and I want you to decide which one you might use. And if you're here today and you're not sure about Jesus or the gospel, I pray that this would be your day. You'll get to hear the gospel 6 different times. And maybe you'll see the need that you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. So let's take a look at these together. let's look at this as a practical message of six different methods to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We begin with method number one, which is called the bridge. The bridge. This is a very popular way to share the good news about Jesus. And just in case you don't want to draw it, you have this booklet. Every single person got one of these in your bulletin this morning. I ask you to pull it out. Now, if you didn't get a bulletin and you didn't get one of these, I've got extra copies. Because we're going to go through this together, because this is a handy tool that we want you to utilize for sharing the gospel. Did everyone get one? If you didn't get one, raise your hand if you need one. Do you need one? Okay, can you help me out, Bud? Bud's going to go distribute it. Just if you didn't get one of these booklets, raise your hand. And Bud will get one to you, because we want to go through this together. We want everybody to have one copy of these. This is called The Bridge to Life. Let's go ahead and open it up and let's take a look at what it has to tell us. This is a way to share the gospel. I want you to picture yourself. You're sitting down with somebody. They asked you the big question, right? You with me on this? How does a person become a Christian? You pull out your booklet and you share the bridge. You open up and you tell them, the Bible teaches that God loves all people, but people are separated from God and His love. God is on one side and all people are on the other. Why are people separated from God and His love? You know, one of the things that I try to get across to people when I share with them the good news about Jesus is the fact God loves you. God really, sincerely loves you. But there's a problem and an issue. You're separated from God. And why are people separated from God? Well, you turn the next page and you go over this with the person. It says on the left-hand side, sin separates people from God. And you go across and you have the two scripture verses there. Your sins have cut you off from God, and all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, you might need to explain to someone what sin is. Maybe they've heard the word before and they're not really sure exactly. I simply say sin is the bad things we say, the bad things we do, the bad things we think. And we all do it. We all sin. God is holy. He's perfect. And we're sinful. And we're separated from God because of our sin. It's just a simple explanation to let them know there's a problem between you and God as you go over this. And where does the separation lead? Well, you turn the page and it tells you this separation leads only to death and certain judgment. And then you can read the scriptures or have them read the scriptures for themselves. Man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So you let them know the stark truth, the reality is that everyone will be held accountable for the way they live their lives, and they'll be held accountable for their sin, that there is a day of judgment. It's important for people to know that they're separated from God and that the sin that they've committed brings death and judgment. But it says in the lower right-hand side, there's a solution. God has an answer. Can I hear an amen? And you turn the next page, and what is the answer? Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, is the way to God. And you see that there's a bridge now, that the cross of Christ is the bridge that people walk across by faith to get to God. And then it asks the question, does this include everyone? You turn the next page. The answer is yes, but only those who personally receive Jesus Christ into their lives, trusting Him to forgive their sins, can cross the bridge. In John 1:12, you can read or have them read, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You turn the next page and it says, how does a person receive Jesus Christ? Everyone must decide individually to receive Christ. And you make that clear to the person that as an individual, you need to cross the bridge by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's called the bridge, and you must decide yourself personally. And then you turn the page, and they have a very small, a very short prayer that someone could sincerely pray. You come before God in prayer and simply pray, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and Lord. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. And if you pray that prayer, he will do it. And it says on the next page, if you have invited Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says you now have eternal life. Your sins are forgiven. You get to go to heaven. And then you close off with 1 John 5:11 and 12. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the bridge to life. I'm encouraging you to put it in your wallet, put it in your purse, put it in your car, but have it somewhere, somehow, that you can pull this out and you can go over this, because this is what they're going to be using at VBS this year. This is the tract, the gospel booklet they're going to use at Vacation Bible School this year. And I thought that each one of you could benefit by having a copy of it to use it. Now let's continue on. You can also draw the bridge. If you don't have the little booklet with you, here's a drawing of it. It's pretty simple. You can see how you might draw it. You draw a difference between us and God. There's a chasm there between. You can draw your famous stick figures there. And then you can draw the cross of Christ as the bridge. And then you can have the person going across into the loving arms of God. You can always draw the bridge, or you can use your booklet, The Bridge to Life. This is the first method of sharing the gospel. It's called the bridge. Let's go to method number two. Method number two of sharing the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is known as the Romans Road. That's because we're looking at scripture passages in the book of Romans. These are the four passages that you can use to lead someone to Christ in the Bible. Now, if you don't know these, you don't have it, it's good to write them down. You have it in the sermon notes, so if you go home to your Bible or even now, you can write these verses down so when the time comes, you can go to these verses in the Bible. You know what's powerful about this method of evangelism is you use your Bible. You simply open up to the book of Romans, and you can actually have a person read it for themselves. You go home, you sit down with your son or daughter if you want to, and you say, let's go ahead and look at these scripture verses together. Let's open up and let's read them. And so you open up the Bible, you sit with the person, you can have them read, and you bring them to Romans 3:23, and you have them read it. Very dry. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can simply ask them, what is God saying to you in that scripture? You go to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is God saying to you in this scripture verse? And then you move on to Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What is that scripture verse saying to you? You know, if the Holy Spirit is at work and moving in this person's life, they're going to begin to understand what God is saying through his word in the Bible, in the book of Romans. And then you have the practical application of all this. Romans 10:9-13. Have the person read it for themselves. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you simply ask them, what is God asking you to do in this scripture? And they give their response, in my heart. I've got to open up my heart and believe in Jesus, that he died and rose again. And then you lead them with an invitation, which I'll get to at the end of the message. But this is another way to introduce someone to Jesus using the Romans Road. Let's take a look at method number three. The most popular verse probably of all time, John 3:16. I added 17 and 18. There's two ways to use John 3:16 with someone. First off, you can get the Bible out again and open it up, just like you did with the Romans Road. This one you can have memorized. Oh yeah, John 3:16 through 18. You open up the Bible, you have them read it for themselves. The person, you point your finger to it, you say, there's John 3:16. Why don't you read down to verse 18, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And again, you simply ask the person, what is God saying to you? What's the message? And if the Holy Spirit is at work in the person's life, they're going to respond. The second way that you can use John 3:16 is just from memory. Do you have John 3:16 memorized? Is it one of your memory verses? Do you know it? Well, in a simple conversation, if somebody asks about being a Christian, you can recite John 3:16 and just go over it phrase by phrase. It's simple. For God so loved the world. God loves people that he gave or sacrificed his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross to pay the punishment for our sins and came back alive again to give us the gift of eternal life. And if you believe in Jesus, you're not going to perish, but you'll get eternal life. You'll get to go to heaven to be with him. You see how simple that was? So quick and to the point. John 3:16, you can use it for evangelism. It's a great scripture verse to use. That's method number three. Let's go to method number four. It's called the morality ladder. And it was put together by Bill Hybels, this particular method. And it's for people who don't see their need for God. This is kind of an interesting way to share the gospel. I want you to think about this one. This is something that you need to draw. Some of you are probably a lot better than I am at drawing, and you might do a good job with this one, and you might want to try this out. I'm going to go over this very briefly with you. What is the morality ladder? Well, on a sheet of paper or even on a napkin, if you're in a restaurant, you could pull out a pen and draw this on a napkin. You draw a ladder, as you can see is made here. And the first thing that you would say is, I think we would agree that God is up on the top rung of the ladder. Because God is holy, God is perfect. And so you'd write God up on the top rung of the ladder. He's number one. And just for argument's sake, you can ask them or you can say, I think we'd both agree that probably at the lowest rung of the morality ladder are serial killers. People that don't have any morals whatsoever. Am I right? Well, then you might ask, well, what people in history would you say were moral people? People who had a high moral standard, great people of integrity. Well, let's suppose, just for argument's sake, the person says Mother Teresa. So you put her initials up there, Mother Teresa, on one of the rungs below God, obviously, and I'll mention why they're not on the same level of God in a moment. And let's say you say, I'll choose somebody. I'll choose Billy Graham. Most people think Billy Graham is a great moral Christian, a man of God, and you put his initials down there. And then you put your own initials. I put mine in there, PT. I'm obviously below Mother Teresa and Billy Graham. And then you ask the person, where would you put yourself on the morality ladder? Let's just suppose their initials are BH, Ben Hennigan, or whatever the name might be. And so they go ahead and they write, or you write their initial below there. The point that you're trying to make with the morality level, if you notice, there's a gap between all the people and God. And the reason why Mother Teresa and Billy Graham are not up there next to God is because they both admitted that they were sinners in need of a Savior. And so what they chose was the cross of Christ to bridge the gap between them and God. They put their faith and trust in Jesus, who died for them, and so that they could cross over and have a relationship with God. And you could say, and I've done the same thing. My answer to the gap between myself and God is the cross of Christ. And you could ask the person, what's your plan? And if they say, oh, I'm just trying to be a good person, well, you're never going to be good enough to make it to God. If Billy Graham and Mother Teresa didn't make it, and they claim that they were sinners, and you know you've done some wrong in your life, you're not going to make it either. You need to have something to fill the gap. And the gap is filled by Jesus Christ and his cross. Okay, that's how you do the morality ladder. Maybe that works for some people in here. I think in our Sunday school, some people raised their hands. And they said this was the method that they used, was the morality ladder. Well, let's move on to method number 5. It's called do versus done. This is when you're talking to someone and they think they're working their way to heaven. You could simply use these two words. This too can be written on a piece of paper, or it could be written on a napkin, or you just say it verbally. There's only two words that you need to remember, do and done. You're with that special person. You sit down with them, and they want to learn about how they can become a Christian. And so you get the napkin out. Maybe you're out getting pizza with somebody, and you write the word do down there. And you simply tell them, you know, most of the religions in the world are spelled D-O, do, because they're all based on what you need to do to have a right relationship with God, to be accepted by God, to be approved by God. And they have very high standards. And there's all these rituals and all these standards you need to meet. There's all these things you need to do in order to be accepted and approved by God. This is the problem. You never know if you've been good enough. And number two, for most people, they're impossible to attain all the standards that are set by religion. And then you explain to them Christianity is vastly different. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E, done. It's because God has done for you what you couldn't do for yourself. He died on a, Jesus was God's son who died on the cross to pay the punishment for your sin. He died and took your place. And then he defeated death and came back alive again. It's called the resurrection. It's all been done for you. You just need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior and the leader of your life. Because it's all been done for you. You don't need to prove yourself and perform to get to God. Do you see how do versus done works? This is another effective way of sharing the gospel. And then method number 6 is God's story in you. The entire message last week was on telling God's story in you. And I gave some practical application of how you can put together your own personal testimony. But this is a great way for you to share what your life like was like before Jesus. How did you come to know Jesus? What was your life like after Jesus? People want to listen to your story. They'll listen to what you have to say from a personal story about what God has done in your life. It's an effective way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, let's say you lay out the gospel to this special person that God has laid on your heart that you're reaching out to. It could be your neighbor. After you share the gospel, you need to give an invitation. Lead the person in a heartfelt verbal prayer. Have the person verbally confess and repent of their sin. That's important in the prayer. Have the person declare belief in Jesus personally. And have the person genuinely receive Jesus as the forgiver and leader of his or her life. And then conclude the prayer by thanking God. It's just a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's simply just, dear God, I thank you for loving me. I thank you that you came down to earth as a human being. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you that you defeated death and came back alive. I'm sorry for all the bad things I've done in my life. And I now open up my heart and I receive you, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart. I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you rose again. And I turn away from my life of sin and I turn to you. and I embrace you to be the forgiver and leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. See, it's not that hard. It's a simple prayer that you lead somebody in when you share the gospel with them. Then I say, follow up immediately. When somebody puts their faith and trust in Jesus, share your joy. It should be a joyous occasion, just like it is in heaven. It says that they're rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Affirm the person's decision. Ask good questions and listen carefully. Let the person know that Christianity is a lifelong relationship with God. It's not just a one-time prayer. It's something that you live out in a relationship with God. And then encourage that person to tell others. Go home and tell your family, tell your friends that you now are considered to be a Christian. And explain to them the next steps. If they don't have a Bible, make sure they can get it, you can get them a Bible. And talk about discipleship, coming alongside of them. Talk about going to church, having devotions, praying each morning, and reading the Bible each morning. These are the things that you go over after you share and you lead somebody to Christ. Well, we went through six different methods on how to share the gospel. I hope that it's something connected with you. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never really accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe this is something you've been thinking about. Maybe you've been coming to church and you've been thinking about it. Well, here's a golden opportunity for you to open up your heart. Maybe if you haven't done it before. Maybe if you've really been thinking about it. It's simple. I personally now invite you to believe in and receive Jesus Christ as forgiver and leader of your life. There's no better time than right now to do that. Are you ready to do that? You're thinking you want to do it? David's nodding to me. I think that's wonderful. David and I are friends. And we actually got together on, what was it, Friday night. And I get to talk to him and Abby and his brother Michael about Jesus. And I know Abby's put her faith and trust in Jesus, and I think David wants to. Are you getting to that point? Are you getting pretty close? Well, good. You can pray this wonderful prayer after me if you're ready to receive. If you're ready to receive Christ today, maybe as David thinks he's ready to, it's just a simple prayer. You can just pray after me. Let's just bow our heads and dear God, I'm here to tell you that I'm sorry for all the bad things that I've done in my life. I know that I've displeased you, Lord, with certain things that I've done and some of the thoughts that I've had. And I'm here to confess to you openly that I've sinned against a holy God. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for me personally on the cross. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And I believe that Jesus defeated death and came back alive again. I believe in the resurrection because I believe in Jesus. Thank you, God, for your salvation. I open up my heart to you. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. I thank you, God, for saving me and leading me into a right relationship with you. I now want to live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.